And I was way up in the mountains this week, let me tell you. Way up there, and it was good for me. I was stuck in the middle of nowhere and couldn't get on a lot of phone calls and stuff, so I was planning on getting ready for the youth rally. So let's look at Genesis chapter 6. And here in Genesis chapter 6, God was telling the world that He was just about that close to wiping it out. He had let the world go and let the world go. Finally stepped in and brought judgment. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, everybody here knows that God's good.
Yes, sir.
He's very merciful. If it wasn't for God's mercy, there'd none of us be here this morning. We wouldn't be. I mean, we breathe in air. We're eating food.
Yes, sir.
We're fellowshipping. It's the mercy of God.
Amen.
That any of us are even here today. But we also know something else about God. If you read the Bible, you know God is extremely merciful. But God also has a limit as how far He'll let things go. In a nation, in an individual, in a church, He always does. He always says, okay, He calls it the cup of iniquity. And if a person or a church or a nation or anybody pushes him too far, then God will finally step in and bring judgment. It's always been that way. And He's not mean by doing this. He's right. And He's holy. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. The message is, you can only push God so far. And I'm going to preach this morning on the subject, when God's patience wears out. Here in Genesis chapter 6, look at verse number 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, or on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. That's an interesting study we'll get into sometime. That phrase, sons of God, that's a different meaning than just a Christian in the New Testament. Those sons of God were around before Adam and Eve were. As you see in the book of Job. And that's a very doctrinal, controversial thing. A lot of preachers would have three heart attacks if they heard me just go through what I just got through saying. But you can read about them in the book of Job. They shouted for joy before Adam and Eve were here. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And Inquirer and Sun and Star magazines make a fortune off of that right there. Supernatural beings mating with humans, producing children. And that's what all the scary movies are made out of. Hollywood, Damon, The Omen, all these movies in Hollywood, they're on to something that started way back here in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. The daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Look what God had to do. Verse 3. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. God set a date, 120 years. That's pretty merciful, I think. That's pretty merciful. And there were giants in the earth in those days. Where did them giants come from? From them daughters of men and sons of God. That's what he said. And also after that, that would be after the flood, the giants lingered on. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. You'll see some of that there, and we'll talk about it at the youth rally. All of these great, special people on the earth that seem bigger than life, it might just be that they really are. And we'll talk more about that at the youth rally. Look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, brother, if that don't describe our day, I don't know what is. God looked down and he saw that the imaginations of men was evil continually. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, I'm not through reading yet. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Just like it was then, he said it'd be now. We're living in a time when people, it doesn't matter what it is. You pick up this school bus, you pick up they'll have some kind of evil, wicked joke to tell or make some kind of insinuation. You know what I'm talking about. You work out there on a public job, you people work on a public job, the thoughts of man's heart, you can't say nothing without bringing up some kind of filthy, make some kind of joke or something like that. Am I telling the truth or not? Say amen. Brother, I'm telling you, the thought, people's minds are so perverted today that it doesn't matter what happens or who says what. You can wear a yellow flower, or you can pick up this, and they'll say, and have something dirty to say about it. And I'm telling you, the Bible said that that's the way it was before God destroyed man off the face of the earth. And the Bible said there in verse number 6, that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now here's what you want to do. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and as a result, of course, wasn't destroyed. Now, I want to talk this morning about it a little bit. You know, God is very good to give us all these blessings. When we were little, I remember when I was growing up, my dad, we remodeled our basement, and we put my bedroom and one of my sister's bedrooms in our basement. And we had the middle part of our basement fixed up like a little den, and we had the TV downstairs, and Mom and Dad's bedroom would have been upstairs, and my other sister, and I had one bedroom, and she had the other bedroom. And I'll never forget, we used to go down there and cut up every night. And I mean, I'd be throwing things and bouncing a basketball and had the TV up. And me and my sisters would start fighting. And we'd throw stuff, we'd throw stuff at each other. She'd throw something back at me. I'd throw something back at her. I'd come back close to I had a cherry bomb one time, a big firecracker like that. And I was playing around with it like that, putting a match up to it like that. And it lit. And buddy, that thing went, I tried to get it out, and it got down about that close, and I know it was going to blow my hand off, and I threw it like that right at my sister. I didn't mean to throw it at my sister. She just happened to be there. And in between me and her, that thing went boom, and blew up in midair. And if the Lord could have been on her, and put her eyes out, blow my fingers off. But we used to fight like that, and my daddy would have to go to work the next morning. And when daddy had to go to work the next morning, he'd have to get up like at 5:30, and mom would say down there, all right, come to the door. She said, be quiet down there. And you know what? We'd be real quiet. And then little by little, something. You know what I'm talking about. And it gets a little bit louder, a little bit louder. First thing you know, we're back at it again, and everything. And then we'd hear somebody stomp on the floor. Up there. I mean, shut up. Be quiet. Be quiet. They're going to get him. And we get real quiet for a few minutes, and then little by little. I heard one of them something like that. Here we be going at it again. Well, and about that time, I'll never forget it, buddy. You would hear that bedroom, and that broke out of a dead sleep. You don't want to wake a man up, 12 o'clock at night, who's got to get up at 5 o'clock. Buddy, I'd hear daddy coming down them steps. I said, oh, buddy, we've done it now. And buddy, I remember, if you ever made him mad, if you ever made daddy mad, he was he's West Virginia. Everybody in West Virginia is crazy. Amen. But anyway, it knocked you in the next week. He come down them steps. Lord, I never will forget that time. I set a fire in the basement with a cigarette lighter, and I was about 6 years old, laying in the bed asleep, and he come in the door, and jerked, grabbed one of my leg, grabbed my ankle right here, and just pulled me up like that and just started beating the devil out of me. I didn't even know what was going on. I was sound asleep. Have you ever been jerked out of the bed in the middle of the night and somebody just beat the fire? That's the way he'd do it. He didn't, when he got mad, he was ready to do business. And I'll never forget, we could push him, but you can only push him so far. And once you push him past that point, there's no plea bargaining. There's no I'm sorry business. There's no, oh, I didn't mean to. Brother, it's over. Time for talk was done. I mean, it's loud, buddy, with a belt or whatever else you get your hands on. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. God is a lot like that. I'm not saying God's out of control by no means. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you can push him. You listen? You can push him. And you can push him, and you can provoke him, and sooner or later, he's going to let the axe fall. I mean, he did it in the Bible. I know people say, oh, you preacher of judgment, you prophet of gloom, you hellfire and damnation. I'm just telling you the two natures of God. God has a loving nature. He cares about us. Anybody in here this morning can get out of your seat and walk down here and ask God to forgive you, and he'll forgive you of everything you've done, and he won't hold it against you. God's awful good. But I'm going to tell you another side of God. God can be pushed, and God can be angered, and God can be provoked until God says there is no other remedy. They're not going to change. They're not going to repent. And God has to step in and bring judgment to your life. You don't want to do it that way. Now say something to you this morning. Every one of us in here is going to straighten up. We're all going to straighten up the easy way, or we're going to straighten up the hard way. God's going to get you right the easy way, or he's going to get you right the hard way. You can go down here and get it over with this morning. I mean, boy, if I was facing a lot of charges, and I thought, well, I can go down there to the courthouse, and I can fall down before the judge, and I can say I'm sorry, and he'll let me off the hook, or else I can just face him at the court date and let him throw me in prison, I'd be going down there begging for mercy. And that's the way God is. My heart goes out to y'all this morning. I've got a burden for you this morning. I don't even know if I have time to get to my outline. My heart is heavy for somebody in this room today. I've seen people this week up in Kentucky. I've seen God do some work. We had a man saved Wednesday night. We had a big old boy saved Thursday night. We had another young man saved on Friday night. On Wednesday night, there was a man came who worked for the pastor. The pastor works during the day at a trust building company where they build trusses for wood buildings. And he got an employee of his to come. The man's name was Jose. His wife's name was Christy. And I preached that night hard on Wednesday night. And I said, God's only going to give you so many chances. And that night, Jose, the pastor's wife, actually, pastor's wife's from Ecuador, and she don't speak real good English, but she's really got a good Christian witness, and she's a soul winner. And the pastor would play the guitar, and these women would sing for the invitation, so I was giving the invitation. So the pastor's wife come down like this, and she'd grab somebody and bring them to the altar. So she went over to this guy and said, you want to go to the altar? And here he comes down the altar. And so she gets him down here at the altar. This boy's Spanish, but he speaks English. And he got down to the altar, and she pointed at me and said, now come over here and pray with him. So I said, okay, y'all keep singing. I took a Bible, laid it down underneath his face, and I got down. And so I led him to the Lord, and then she pointed at his wife. Like that. And so I said, what's your name? She said, Christy. I began to talk to her. Jose got saved. I said, Christy, why don't you get saved? She shook her head, no. I said, don't you want to get saved? She said, I thought about it. I said, have you ever asked the Lord to save you? She said, no. I said, what's wrong? I thought, well, maybe they're not married, and maybe they're just living together, and she thinks she can't get it. So I looked, she had a wedding band, and I said, well, she didn't look like she had a problem with drugs or anything like that. It's just, you know, her face was bright and shiny. And I said, why don't you get saved? She said, I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready. I said, Christy, please don't. I mean, that's unusual. It's unusual for a man to get saved and his wife hold back like that. That girl's probably 23 or 4 years old, 5 maybe. And this girl, she said no. I prayed with her husband, and I said, well, you promised me you'll come back. She came back Friday night. I preached the message on what will happen when Jesus comes. And then there was people filled the altar, and she sat right there through that message and never moved. She did have a little baby that was giving her a fit and everything, but she still said no. That night the pastor talked to her. She still said no. My heart goes out for that girl. Listen, she's 23 or 4 years old. She's heard preaching all of her life. She keeps saying no, 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 no. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something? There's going to come a point. There's going to come a day, somewhere, sometime, down the road somewhere, when she's going to say no the last time. And God will let something happen to Christy if she don't get saved. Pray for that girl. Pray for her. It broke my heart. There was another big old boy named Adam. Adam sat right on the second row. Big old country. I mean, he looked like a Kentucky boy. Home cornbread, fed, you know. A big old boy. And he was sitting there on the second row, and they come to it three nights. The last night, the third night, fourth night, Thursday night, the night after Jose got saved, the preacher's wife went to Adam. And Adam, she said, Adam, you know, he nodded his head like that. He came to the altar. She pointed at me. I'm praying with it. So I left the invitation again. I said, am I the only person in here? Looks like I can pray with somebody. I mean, you know how those little mountain churches are? It's about 80% women, but it's older women and two or three men. And we had a shouting time, buddy. I mean, them old women, buddy, they love the Lord. They praise the Lord. One of them said, we're going to keep you. I said, that's what you think. You ain't keeping me. I'm going back to North Carolina. One said, we're going to block your car in. I said, when this thing's over, I'm out of here. You think you can keep me? You're crazy. But I enjoyed it. Had a great time. And a bunch of elderly ladies, way up in their 70s and 80s. And, buddy, they were just sweet as they could be. And they praised God. And I got down and started praying with Adam. And I got down and prayed with Adam. And I saw something that I hadn't seen in a long time. That blessed my heart. That big old mountain boy got down like this. And Brother Jason, he got down like that. And I looked, and there was tears dropping off of his face, hitting them Bible pages. And, you know, you hear about the old mountain preachers reaching up them tears, and but I saw that big old boy cry. I got to thinking, boy, isn't this something to see? Somebody that's sorry, somebody that's repentant, somebody. And ladies and gentlemen, if we don't have that attitude, then God's going to judge us sooner or later. I'm telling you this morning, you may think everything's going good in your life. You may think you're getting away with your sin. You may think, man, I'm cool. I'm living like a devil. Nobody don't know it. But I'm telling you, if you don't repent, then God's going to get you to a place where you wish that the Lord you had him. The God of glory will finally bring judgment, and God's patience finally runs out. But he didn't run out on Adam. Adam got saved. And he was back Friday night, and he's coming to the youth rally. If y'all remind me, he's a preacher's daughter and son's going to bring the youth rally. And I'll introduce him to you if you'll remind me of that. I'm telling you, the patience of God finally runs out. There's these men standing beside me. I stayed in room 108 at the Parkway Inn, there at the foot of in the mountains of Whitesburg, Kentucky, and there was a group of men standing beside me. And always, I tried to witness to them, tried to witness to the ladies who come around and clean the room. Them girls that clean up motel rooms, they look just exactly like you'd think girls that clean up motel rooms, like on TV. They got stringy hair and, you know, old real tight blue jeans, and they look just like they do on TV. When they clean motel. I'm not degrading that if somebody does that. I mean, you know, that's fine. That's a good job. If you get paid by the room. I tried to witness to them. I begged them girls all week to come to church. I give them a youth rally flyer. I wound up giving one of them a DVD and made a promise to watch it. The men that stand beside me, they worked for a telephone cellular phone company, and these men, they get out there every day and just talk, play music, and I said, I got a witness to them, got a witness to them. They was cussing out there. Well, I caught them out there the other evening, and I walked right out there, and I've been running. And I come in running just the day before, and that one man told me, he said, you ain't running up and down that highway out there. And I said, yeah. There's something wrong with that? He said, I can't believe you get out there and run that. And he knew I was a preacher. He seen my tag on my car, you know, and everything. I done tried to witness to him once. And I said, well, what? He said, them coal trucks coming up and down through there, them guys are half drunk. It's real. They come up there at 80 miles an hour, and they're flying around them curves. He said, I won't even let my men get out there. I said, I can see a truck coming. If it's going to run over me, I can just jump out of the way. He said, well, there's somebody sure taking a looking after you. I said, there's my chance right there. I said, amen. I said, they sure are somebody looking after me. Amen. And boy, I began to talk to them. And so I went in the motel room, and I got them a DVD. And it was all standing out, five of them standing around. And I walked up and said, you guys going to church with me tonight? big old guys, mean, tough-looking guys. And they looked at me like I had slapped them in the face with a wet rag. I said, y'all going to church with me tonight? And they said, we got to work. And I started to say, if you wasn't working with you, but I didn't. I didn't want to be a smart aleck. But I said, well, look, you know, the Lord's coming back. And I said, there ain't but two explanations of us being here, guys. Either we got here by ourselves or somebody put us here. We either got here on this earth by ourselves or somebody put us here. That's the only explanation there is. And one of them looked down and two of them walked off. And I gave them the DVD. I said, here, watch this DVD. It'll tell you about Jesus coming back. He said, this won't mess up my computer, will it? I said, you can ask Mr. T. I don't know. And I said, I don't think it will. Won't will it? But anyway, I said, no, you watch that. And I'm telling you, brother, I left that. They looked. You know what? They was big. They was tough. They was talking. They was cussing. They was listening to music. That old 60s music, 70s or whatever it was, music playing. Rain. Every time I opened my door, that music would come right in my room. I mean, they was playing Louie Louie and all that stuff. And I know Louie Louie by heart. And I mean, it was just, and I was in there saying, oh, dear Lord, bless us, sir. That's where it was. I ain't kidding you. It's like a battle, man. The devil just fighting it back and forth, back and forth. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, brother, we're telling them. Just like Noah warned his generation. We're out here witnessing. We drive them buses through the community. We go in the trailer park. We knock on doors. We're on the radio. And God's saying, come. But if you don't, God's patience will finally run out. And God will judge you. You know what your problem is here this morning? You don't believe that. You think, he didn't do nothing last week. Week four. He gave them 120 years. Listen, everybody in here thought this morning that God was going to judge you before you got home for your sin. This altar, you wouldn't be able to get in this altar for the people trying to get up here. You say, well, you're trying to tell me that God's mean? No, God's not mean. God is love. He loves you, and He loves you so much, He'll let trouble come in your life to correct you if He has to. Now, you can correct it the easy way or let Him correct it the hard way. I mean, Noah preached. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. It don't say that he preached 120 years. We assume that he did. And it said he was a preacher of righteousness. And I don't know how it went, but I can imagine Noah down there building this ark. Think about it. Here's a big old boat, bigger than a football field nearly. High, 75 feet high, 3 stories high, huge. Monster boat. And this boat's out here in the middle of dry ground. And he's telling everybody water's going to fall out of the sky, and it ain't never happened before in history. Can you imagine what people thought about him? You think we get made fun of? Imagine the days of Noah. I mean, can imagine. He's out here building. It'd be like going out in the middle of Kansas somewhere where there's no lakes or nothing and building a huge, like a Titanic. And now they have no way to transport it. They thought he had lost his mind. But the Bible said, oh, Noah preached. And he said, the floods are coming. He said, it's going to rain fire out of heaven. He said, you're going to drown. And boy, they got me. Can you imagine? Did you know, it was a topic at school, I'm sure, in the university. Well, did you hear about that preacher over there? They had him on CNN last night. They did. Larry King and him was talking to him. He's building a boat out there in the middle of dry ground, and he thinks water is going to fall out of the sky and drown everybody that ain't in his boat. Oh, God. Those preachers, they make me so sick. They're so self-righteous. They think if you don't believe just like them, you're wrong. I'm going to deal with that at the youth rally, too, from your friend Oprah Winfrey, who believes there's about 1,000 ways to heaven. You won't believe it. You won't believe it. You'll be down at the youth rally on the first night. They say, oh, you mean to tell me that if we don't believe just like you, Noah, you know, they got him on one of Larry King Live, and they had a panel on there, and he said, tonight, we have the preacher who believes that water is going to fall out of the sky and drown everybody who's not in his boat. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this. And they'd have a commercial, and he'd come back, and then we have on our panel tonight a rabbi from down here at the synagogue, and we have a priest from over here at the so-and-so, and we have a religious leader, and all that. And every one of them said Noah was a fool. Every one of them said he's crazy. They all said it. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. The majority always has been wrong, people. The majority always has been wrong. And they said he's crazy. He's lost his mind. They interviewed the rabbi. He said, well, I've studied Jewish history all of my life, and I'm very familiar with the book of Genesis and all that kind of stuff. And he said, there's never been water fall out of the sky before. It's a scientific impossibility, and we know that that can't happen. Now come right back. We'll have a word from the preacher himself. Boy, they put that old microphone on that old man of God, and he got a prayer, and he said, listen, I love you, and God loves you. And he said, well, if God loves us, why are you saying he's going to drown us? You're contradicting yourself. And he said, listen, God loves you. He loves you, but he will not tolerate sin. God will not tolerate sin. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get back to that in this country, that God still hates sin. He hates my sins. He hates your sins. He hates lying. He hates cheating. He hates murder. He hates stealing. He hates being dishonest. He hates it. He hates it. Our sin nailed Jesus to the cross, and God hates our sin. And we need a fear of God back in our churches tonight. We need to be afraid of God once again. God's got your life in His hands. God can pull a plug anytime He wants to. There can be a car accident, heart attack, blood vessel burst, aneurysm, anything He wants to can take you out of this world. I'm telling you this morning, God's patience does wear out. And they said, I don't believe a God of love would drown people. You're judging us. You have no right to say that. We're just as good as you are. And Noah looked back and he said, I'm not claiming I'm better than you are. I'm not claiming I'm any more right than you are. All I'm claiming is that God said, get in that boat because water's going to come. And buddy, they said no. And they said no. I can imagine they went down there on their lunch break and made fun of him. Them boys lit him up a joint, you know. And I was going to smoke pot and watch Noah build up ark. And they said, Lord, that man crazy, ain't he? Look at that crazy old fool. Hey, preacher, how you going to get that thing in the ocean? How you going to, that's awful big. You must be expecting a crowd, ain't you? And boy, old Noah, he's on his lunch break too, and he took a napkin, wiped the mayonnaise off of his mouth, where his wife brought him a ham and cheese sandwich and some Doritos and stuff like that. That's what they had for lunch. Son, he throwed a piece of plywood over top of two saw horses. And boy, he said, give him a Bible. And Shem went over there and got his Bible and handed it to him. Man, he stood up on that piece of plywood and he said, all right, you're going to drown like a bunch of rats. Amen. Buddy, he started hacking there. Amen. I guarantee that's the way he preached. Buddy, he preached. He said, you're going to drown and go to hell. And boy, they lied. They said, you crazy old fool, you. You sound like somebody up in the mountains of North Carolina or somewhere. He said, I ain't from North Carolina. He said, but God told me that it's going to rain. And I said, but I'd love to hear him preach like that, wouldn't you? I don't do a lot of that hacking, but I like to hear them when they do it. Amen? I like it, buddy. I mean, I enjoy it. Amen? I know people up in the mountains believe you ain't even called preach if you don't hack. I mean, they believe you're a compromiser if you got a red Bible. But I'm telling you tonight, this morning, brother, oh, Noah, he preached and he preached and he preached and he preached. And finally, one day, one of them old boys sitting over on the lunch break, and one of them punched the other and said, what in the world is that? And the other one said, I don't know. He said, man, we must have got some bad dope. And he said, if you're seeing the same thing I'm seeing, we did get a hold of some bad dope. Well, I honestly believe that's two giraffes walking across that field right there. And here they come, brother, two giraffes. Pretty husband and wife giraffe. And here they come down across that field as pretty as you please. And that door was open, and they went right in that thing. And right behind them was two elephants. And right behind them was two monkeys. And right behind them was two bush kids. And right behind them was, here they come. And right behind them was two rhinoceroses, whatever the plural of rhinoceros is. And here they come, and all them, here come them animals, two by two and seven by seven, walking in that ark. They said, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my life. I mean, them preachers do anything for a crowd. What a gimmick, man. He done John Ringling and Barnum Bailey. All them, that crazy old fool, can't get no people to come. He's filled it full of animals. But you know what that was? That was God warning them, this is it. The party's over. You better get in. And I'm telling you tonight, or this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the party's about over tonight. The party's about over tomorrow night. If we still hear this time tomorrow night, there'll still be finally wears out. He's talking to somebody right now.
Yeah.
He's talking to a young man in here, or a young, I guarantee you, you was out doing something you shouldn't have done last night and Friday night, and God told me to warn you through this message that if you don't repent, He's going to get you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, I mean, and when your family calls me and tells me you're in the hospital or something bad's happened, you say, Brother Danny, Christ is coming. I'm telling you, His patience wears out. His patience wears out. I heard a story of two young men in Texas. And this preacher tried to get these boys to come to church. And as he got these boys trying to get them to come to church, they were out drinking one night, partying, speeding up and down the highway. And talked to them and said, Boys, why don't y'all just go home, sleep it off before something bad happens to you? And they looked back at that preacher and said, We will. Don't worry about us, preacher. Don't nobody else get up now. Bus workers, don't let nobody else get up. Sit down. Preacher, we're going home. You don't have to worry about us. We're fine. Ain't nothing going to happen. They took off up the road. Didn't say do what they said they'd do. They went out partying, traveling up the road too fast that night and hit a telephone pole. And one of them died. And his buddy said when he died, he was screaming, Oh God! Oh God! Oh God! And he died screaming, Oh God. I knew a man right down here in Statesville, in the hospital. And I was preaching somewhere and a girl came up to me and she said, Pray for my daddy-in-law. Said, He's a wicked man. She said, We tried to get him to come to church and tried to get him to get saved. And said, He looked at me and he said, You'll see me in hell before you see me at that altar. He said, I'll not give up my drinking and my partying. And he said, You'll see me in hell before I go that altar. And all of a sudden, not long after that, he got smoke in his bowels, inside of his stomach. And they said that man was on his knees like this in that hospital bed, down like this screaming, Oh God, oh God, oh God. And he died like that. And he wasn't saying, Lord, save me. He was just crying out in pain. And he said, You'll see me in hell before you see me at that altar. Let me tell you something, people. Listen, you can't beat God Almighty. Ain't no use trying. Get your heart right this morning.
Yeah.
Get your heart right this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, get in this altar and be saved today. Don't be like Christy. Don't keep pushing God. Don't keep pushing Him and pushing Him. He'll finally stop you whether you want to stop or not. Because God's patience finally wears out.